Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43, and I read in Jesus' name. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat, and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed into your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Although allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.' Then he spoke another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the wheat.' And he answered and said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these parables of our Lord Jesus and how he is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And what he's explaining, help us to understand even this day. Lord, be our teacher and our guide. Help us to understand the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to believe it and to trust in Jesus in all circumstances of life and in death. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me explain, first of all, a doctrine that maybe you've heard about for years. Maybe for some, it's a newer idea, but the doctrine of the two kingdoms is the idea among Protestants, especially Lutherans and Calvinists, that God is the ruler of the whole world, that God is sovereign over all things, and that he rules in two ways, that he rules according to his right-hand kingdom, that is through the gospel in the church, and in his left-hand kingdom, he rules through the secular authorities. And he uses both to accomplish his purposes. Both are called his servants. We have a little more confusion in that even in the church, even though that's the right-hand kingdom, we can have, for example, our church council that might make decisions or might encourage different things. And that would, in one sense, be a left-hand kingdom event. It's not centered on the gospel and the declaration of the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. But it's still important things that God can use to guide and to direct us and to accomplish his purposes in our lives. Last week, we looked at the parable of the soils, different ways that people respond to the word of God as it's read or taught or proclaimed. Some resist. Some allow the cares of the world and riches, their desire for wealth, to choke out that word. And we remember also that Jesus talked about the good soil. And my challenge was for each one of us to not say, well, I'm this kind of soil, so that's kind of what I'm stuck with all the rest of my life. The idea is if we see the other soils and we say, that looks way too much like me, we call out to God and have for him to have mercy on us and to change our hearts, to accomplish in our lives and in our hearts what he wants to accomplish. And Jesus, again, throughout this whole chapter, goes through a number of parables explaining what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is something that we can't see. It's not visible. It's not a physical place on the earth. But in our AFLC, we do say that the right form of the kingdom of God on earth is the local congregation. So we can see it in one way. But we also recognize that even in a local church, we can have those who are truly believers in Jesus, and we can have those who are Christian in name only, those who grow up in a church and say, well, I guess that's what I do because my parents started this church and this is my church, even though I may not believe certain things that the Bible teaches. We have the parable here of the wheat and the tares. We have the parable of the mustard seed. We have the parable of the leaven or the yeast. And we have the explanation of the parable of Jesus, parable of the wheat and the tares. First of all, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to this, a man who sowed good seed in his field. And if you remember from last week, the good seed that the man sowed was the word of God. And here, Jesus is taking a similar word picture, but he's focusing on something else, and we'll see the explanation in a moment here. The man sowed good seed into his field. That's what God's kingdom is like. Verse 25, we see that his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. If you came and look at my garden, you would say, Pastor, maybe I can go to him for counsel about spiritual things, but I don't want to go to him for counseling on farming and agriculture because I'm not the man for that. But there's something called darnel, which is something that looks like the wheat that was used, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference as it was growing up, except the weed wouldn't have the grain on it when it was harvest time, when it got farther along. The enemy sowed tares. The enemy went among the good seeds and sowed other seeds to cause problems, to make life difficult. The slaves of the landowner came to him and said, Sir, did you not sow good seed into your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. Of course, we know that the enemy of our souls is the devil and his fallen angels. And the slaves said to him, They offered this. Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you also may uproot the wheat with them. He said, Allow both to grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up and gather the wheat into my barn. We understand that Jesus is pointing to the day of judgment. There's a day of accountability. People can live any way they want to live, at least it seems like it, from their human perspective. But we know from God's word that there will be a day of accounting, a day of accountability, a day of judgment. We'll look into some of the further explanations in just a few moments. But we understand that the kingdom here of heaven will continue to expand and grow until the day of judgment. Sometimes the church has gone through more difficult situations. Sometimes, as it's been in our country for many, many years, the church has not faced a lot of persecution. But regardless of how much opposition or persecution the church has faced, the church still goes forward. The church still goes on. The kingdom of God still expands. And more people are brought to penitent faith. And oftentimes it seems like during the most difficult times, that's when the church is strongest. That's when the faith of those who are believers is truly the deepest. Because they know what a cost they have to pay. Of course, we can examine ourselves and ask ourselves, what kind of seed am I? Am I the good seed that was planted, or am I the seed that was planted by the enemy? And of course, this is a parable, and the parable has an end to it. We can say, well, I was this bad seed, so that's the way I'm going to be all the rest of my life. I remember at a church I was a part of, we had a chaplain that was serving in a prison, and he painted a picture of a man. He was in his arms were outside the bars of the jail, and he had a tattoo that said, "Born to Lose." He had given up on himself because of all that he had gone through and the things that he had done. It's easy to think, oh, you know what, I don't want to even invite this person to church because I know what they'll say. Or I don't want to talk about spiritual things with this person because I know that they're just going to laugh at me or make fun of me. And we're not called to not be laughed at. We're not called to be the cool people that everyone thinks, oh, whatever they say is great. We're called to be people who are trusting in Jesus and who show that love of Jesus to those around us. And then as we have opportunity to speak of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us on the cross as our substitute to pay for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. The kingdom of God will expand, will continue to reach out and grow until the day of judgment. And we warn people, and it's a real warning, to turn from your sin and to trust in Christ. Because we know that that day is coming. Even though scoffers have scoffed and will continue to scoff until that day comes. Jesus goes on in verses 31 and 32 to talk about a parable of the mustard seed. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This is smaller than all other seeds. Again, some people who are hostile to the scriptures like to take this as well as other portions and say, well, that's not the smallest of other seeds. Of all the seeds, there are smaller seeds, but it's the smallest of the seeds used by the farmers in Palestine. Jesus was speaking to those people, and they understood what he was saying. Some discussion what kind of mustard seed it was, and it's believed to be the black mustard seed, if that helps anyone. Again, I'm not the agronomist or agriculture person, but the kingdom of God is compared to a mustard kernel because, like it, the rule of Christ's grace among men has a phenomenal growth from the tiniest beginning. The comparison becomes more striking when we see that this mustard kernel is Christ himself, for the entire kingdom grows from him as the king. In the parable, however, the point of comparison is the growth of this small seed. The seed, the black mustard seed used in Israel, grows to a height of about 12 feet, not the tallest of all plants, but large enough for the birds of the air to nest in, as Jesus described here. The birds of the air come and nest in its branches. This little beginning and this growth that continues reminds us that the kingdom of God will be more important than all the kingdoms of this world. Empires have come and gone. Certainly there's a place in history for each of the empires, but there's an end to each of those empires as well. But the kingdom that Jesus has, that he rules and reigns in even currently, but for all of eternity will never come to an end. And is more important. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verses 33 through 35, we see the parable of the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. The idea of adding yeast to something until it permeates the whole thing. And then we read in this short passage here that the purpose of the parables was given all these things. Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He didn't always speak to them in parables, but as the opposition continued to grow against him, he spoke more and more to the multitudes in parables and then would explain privately to his disciples. Then it went on to say he did not speak to them without a parable, as it was predicted by the prophet, verse 35. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of this world. From Psalm 78, verse 2. We see that the kingdom of heaven will reach out and permeate all the cultures every tribe, every nation, every language, every people group, as we look into the book of Revelation. Those descriptions repeated that it's not just for one race, not just for the Jewish nation, but it's for the world. This good news of Jesus, this proclamation of the forgiveness of sins through penitent faith in Christ. And then Jesus explains further. Again, the disciples quite a few times have to say, "We don't get it. Tell us what it means." And graciously, Jesus answered them in verses 36 through 43. He said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." In his earlier parable from last week, the one who sowed the good seed, the seed of the word, the message of the kingdom, was also the Son of Man. Here, the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. This is where he sows it, the whole world. And then he says, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Those who by God's grace have been brought to penitent faith in Christ. These are the good seed that are sown. The idea that God is the one. Jesus sows us where he wants us. And some of us he calls out and has us go to other places, like the missionaries that we are supporting and praying for on a regular basis. He scatters the seed, the sons of the kingdom, throughout the world. And then he goes on to explain the tares are the sons of the evil one. That is, of course, all of us by nature, we are sons of the devil. We're in the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus, the light of the world, calls us from the darkness unto himself. And Jesus explained the enemy who sowed them is the devil, verse 39. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And he explains how this will happen. Again, he's talking not history that has happened already, but that which will happen with certainty in the future. And again, listen to the warnings that are given. Real warnings for us to hear, for us to share with other people as well. Jesus continued in verse 40, "So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and all those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that last verse, verse 43, is referring to a prediction in Daniel chapter 12. In the parable of the soils, God's word is a seed that is sown. It is powerful. It is effective. It accomplishes its purpose. In the parable of the soils, Jesus describes himself as the one who sows that seed. In this parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus described himself again as the one who sows the good seed. The good seed here are the sons of the kingdom versus the sons of the evil one. Again, we must honestly examine ourselves as we seek to share with other people the good news of Jesus. We need to let them know the bad news, the part that's harder for us to tell. But the bad news is that all of us have sinned and continue to fall short of the glory of God. That if God judged us based on how well we keep the Ten Commandments, how well would we do? And a lot of people pat themselves on the back and say, "Well, I keep them pretty well." And sometimes we have to push that a little farther and say, "Well, how well is pretty well? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Have you ever lusted after someone that's not your spouse? Have you ever stolen something? Have you ever coveted something, desired something that doesn't belong to you?" And if we're honest, we've done those things. Maybe some more than others. And ultimately, if we've broken any of the other Ten Commandments, we've broken the first one, that we shall have no other gods before God. Anything we fear or love or trust in above God is idolatry. Like leaven, the kingdom of heaven will continue to expand and grow until the day of judgment. Like the mustard plant for farmers in Palestine during Jesus' earthly ministry, the kingdom of heaven will be more important than all the kingdoms of the world. And finally, the kingdom of heaven will reach all cultures and tribes, nations, and peoples. That's who the message is for. And that's who needs to hear this message. Let me close with a couple more comments. One quote from a commentator, Besser. He said, first, looking at each of these parables so far, first, the kingdom of God in its breadth, for the sower casts the seed into the ends of the earth. Next, the kingdom in its length, it grows until the final harvest. Third, the kingdom of it in its height, the mustard seed, because it becomes a tree that is higher than all else in the field or the garden. Finally, the kingdom of it in its depth, penetrating all lands and all nations. Jesus closes this section again with the same phrase that he closed the first parable. He who has ears, let him hear. The idea is to go on hearing. If you have ears to hear, listen. Believe. Respond to the word of God. Trust it. And ultimately trust who the word of God is pointing us to. That is Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of each one of us individually. He died for your sins and mine. And through faith in him, we're not that bad seed of the devil anymore. That we confess by nature we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. But we're children of light, children of God's kingdom, by God's grace, and for God's glory. Amen.